Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
I think we have a great example of what it means to live in that peace that we're talking, to have that peace being produced in their life, throughout their life. And we've looked at this guy many times, and his name is Paul, used to be Saul, but now Paul in the New Testament. And the things that he went through and how the peace of God was there in his life, I think he's a great example of how you and me, each one of us, we wake up in the morning and we don't know what's coming at us that day. We don't know what the doctor's going to say. We don't know many things, but I believe that we can find an example in Paul that peace can still be part of our life. That peace can be that production in our life, even though things don't seem all that great at the moment. So I want to look at that this morning. The first thing I want us to look at is Paul's peace starts by getting things right with God. When we look at this man, his peace started when he got things right with God. What do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's read this for just a moment and get familiar again with the story, starting at verses 1 and through 6. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of the Damascus, so that he, if he found any who were of the way," the way is Christians, is what he's speaking of, "whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Why, or who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats.'" Verse 6, "So he trembled and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" This is a miraculous story of a man named Saul who would later be called Paul in the Scripture. And we know him as the man that wrote many of the epistles we find in the New Testament today. Paul's life was a life that had been working on his own, thinking that he was working for God. But he didn't realize he was persecuting Christ and had no idea that he was persecuting God at the same time. You know, this would be, he had no idea that he was even on the wrong team. I believe there's a lot of people that don't realize they're on the wrong team politically today. Would you leave it at that? But sometimes we don't realize we're on the wrong team. Paul didn't realize that even. Even though he thought everything was right, he thought his life was good, everything was right, he thought he was being the right hand of God, persecuting this thing called the way, he had no idea that the way was through Jesus Christ. He had no idea that that was the only path that God had given unto him, was through the blood that we spoke of this morning and through the body of Christ. Paul thought he was a righteous man doing things right. He didn't know he was at odds and actually thought he was helping God. But he has a moment on the road that Jesus reveals to him that he is persecuting Christ himself. There's a moment that he understands. Can I tell you that Paul had not any peace with God at that moment? There was no peace with God at that moment because he was totally on the opposite side of God's team. He was coming against the very thing that God had went through so many years, literally thousands of years, to get it where it was that moment that Christ would redeem all mankind, and Paul was on the wrong team. There was no peace between God and him. I'm going to tell you, I've talked to many people that think they have peace with God, but actually they do not if they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's a lot of people just as blind as Paul when it comes to relationship with God that think they are all right. I've heard people say, "Me and the man upstairs, we're all right." I've heard a lot of people say things, But the fact is, there's no peace with God because we're all against God until we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is where peace starts. Colossians 1:21 says, "In you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled every one of us." Every person that's born is an enemy unto God. There's enmity between God and man. There's no peace there when we are born. But notice Paul calls him Lord and enters into a peace treaty with God at that moment. He says, "Lord, what can I do?" And the Lord says, "Go." I'm going to tell you, he didn't throw the word Lord around lightly. The word Lord actually means that He is Lord over you. He is the one that you will serve. He's the one that you're bowing down to. When Paul said Lord, he's acknowledging Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That very moment of faith in Jesus and who He is, there became peace into Paul's life. A peace that meant peace with God. Each one of us, when we give our heart to Jesus, when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, and we confess Jesus is Lord, and we believe that He is risen from the dead, all of a sudden we enjoy the first peace that every Christian will enjoy, and that is peace with God. You can't have it any other way. My friend, today the enemy wants to make you think you have no peace with God. But if you have the blood of Jesus on your life and believe by faith in Him, you have had your first taste of peace, and that's peace with God. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's no better feeling than to know that you have peace with the Creator of all things. Oh, that one I read about this morning. Oh, that's in the throne room of God, high and lifted up. I have peace with Him. Oh, I can go into His presence through the blood of Jesus Christ with boldness, knowing that He won't strike me down because the blood of the Lamb has covered me. Peace with God. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit to be produced. I want you to let that come up inside of you and let it be part of your life, understanding that you got peace with God today. Peace with Him. What an amazing thing. Can I tell you, when you start to understand that you have peace with God in a way that's been produced in your life, anxiety can leave. I'm going to tell you, anxiety is a real thing. I used to suffer with it. I used to have it. I used to carry an inhaler in one pocket and a bunch of pills in another. But you know, when I got saved, I realized it doesn't matter if I breathe my last breath or whatever, I'm going to be in the presence of God Almighty. I'm just saying, there's something about knowing that you're at peace with God. Makes a difference in how you handle life. Have I suffered every now and then? Yes, every now and then you have a heart attack and you think, oh, I'm going to have another one, whatever. You know what I say? God's got it. Hallelujah. I got peace with God. God has got it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's something that stirs up inside of you. That peace with God. Do we have to fight to keep it inside? Yes, to keep it being produced inside. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Come on, get that in our spirit this morning. Let it be produced in you. Well, you were a bad person. I'm going to tell you, have you asked Jesus into your life? You have peace with God. Oh, God wouldn't want somebody like me. Have you asked the Lord into your life? You have peace with God. It's an amazing thing that God gives us. There's nothing like knowing that you have peace with the Creator. Can I tell you this morning, but this is just the beginning of peace in a Christian's life. It's this beginning of what you felt when you got saved, of peace that can be produced in our life. Paul had learned the secret to having peace of mind. Come on, there's one thing knowing, but peace of mind is a battlefield. Romans 8:6, Paul said this, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be spiritually minded is to be life and peace. New Living Translation says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Come on, Paul had learned something that goes on in your mind. I think all of us have to fight the thoughts, the turbulence, the fear, the things that come into our mind that we have to deal with, and we have to take control of those things once again and say, hey, the Spirit has got this. God has got this. If you want peace of mind, you can't walk in carnality or you can't walk in the flesh. We got to walk in the Spirit is what Paul's speaking of. He's learned the secret of having peace in mind. And it's to walk in the Spirit. Did you know the mind is a battlefield that we all deal with? Every one of us deal with this battlefield in our mind. I deal with battlefields when it comes to the finances of the church every now and then. When they keep raising the things, I'm thinking, am I going to have to cut my salary or whatever needs to be done? Or, you know, you fight with these things and can we still pay the gas bill? Can we still pay the electric bill? But can I tell you something? God has always proven faithful. Amen? And so, but we wrestle with things. I'm just giving an example. Paul had plenty of opportunities to wrestle with peace of mind. Let me just read you some over in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, if you got your Bible, you can turn with me. It's not going to be on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I was going to see if I could actually find the words here. Chapter 11, verses 25 and 29. Now listen to this. Just put yourself in Paul's spot. Let's start with verse 24. From the Jews, five times I've received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned three times. I was shipwrecked at night, and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countries, own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak, but who is made strong or who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. Listen to what Paul was saying. Put yourself in his place as a Christian walking. All the things that he had to go through. He's called by God. What? To share the word of God. And yet he's went through trial, tribulation, not only from things that happened to him, but he's from people that he knew, relationships that he had, his own brethren, the Jewish people, the Gentiles, and then false teachers in the church. Paul had been through a tremendous time in his life. How many of you think Paul may have had a little wrestling going on in his mind? Come on, we can just have a few things. Well, what did that person mean when they said that? And if you're like me, I wrestle on it for 5 days. My mind can get so wrapped up in things. I've lost, if y'all find this, it's hard to see, I've lost a camouflage coffee cup. And I have looked through my pickup. I've looked everywhere for that thing. I'm still looking for it. But my mind has been wrapped around that thing for just a little bit. I'm letting it go for a moment to preach, but after that. But I'm just saying our mind can get wrapped up in different things. Thoughts, things people say to us, the way people treat us. Come on, why is the job placed like that? Paul had all those things that would interrupt his peace is what I'm trying to say this morning. And if you're human, you're going to have those moments in your life. But what can be produced in those moments is the fact that we have the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. And the Holy Ghost has a fruit called the peace, or the fruit of the Spirit called peace. And it can be produced no matter what we're going through. We can have the peace of mind, and we can have peace that God is there with us. Because if we have that fruit, then it starts to stir up inside of us. And it gives us that peace of the Spirit. You know, Paul, listen, even though he had been through so much, he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wrote to the church at Philippi and the church at Galatia and Colossae. He wrote this. Listen to what he wrote. Even though he had been through tremendous things in his life, he wrote this. To every one of these churches, he wrote, grace to you and peace from God. Come on, it's what we say a lot of times that comes out of our mouth after the trial or what has brought us through. We used to sing the song, through it all. I'm going to tell you, a lot of them that sang that understood what it meant, that they'd been through a trial and a difficult time, but God brought them through it, hallelujah. And God was with them, hallelujah. And when they sang it, they'd sing, through it all, hallelujah. I have found Him to be faithful. I just say today that sometimes we forget that when we sing, say things out of our mouth, it expresses what we've learned. Hallelujah. And Paul said to these churches, after being shipwrecked, beaten, and all that, cursed by his own people that he grew up with, he says, peace be with you. Amen. What is that? That's a man that's learned to let the production of peace come through no matter what's happening in his life. Every one of us we'll probably get bad news one day. Where will that peace be? All of that will happen. We have trials, but will we have peace in the middle of it? He penned those famous words in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where do you find that? Going through the trials, going through difficult times. Paul was a man that learned this. See, life can keep us from trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit called peace. And it often depends on what we let get a hold of us. Because certain things can grab you different than other things will. It's often those worries that are so close to our hearts that get a hold of us. But we must be spiritual minded in order to have the peace, even though things look terrible in our lives. Here's a drill for you. The Bible tells us to take everything to the Lord in prayer. What is that? Everything. Amen? This is one of the things Paul penned. He learned what peace is. He learned how to go forward. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's a drill. Oh, when I'm feeling restless, when I don't feel like I have peace, I need to take it to the Lord with thanksgiving, understanding that He is able to do something about it. God is able, and the peace of mind that passes all understanding. Well, how can brother so-and-so be so peaceful? Didn't he know what he just heard? What is it? It's that production of peace through the Spirit in our lives. It's that moment when you said, God's got this. And it's not just the words you're saying, but you actually believe it. I mean, you know, cliches are not good if you don't believe them. You can say them all you want to. It's not like some magic thing. But if you have faith that God has truly got this thing, you're going to experience that production of peace in your life, and others will see that in your life also. Amen. That production of peace. Another drill is this, is keep your mind on God. When things are not right, if we want to see this peace being produced in our life, keep your mind on God. Isaiah 26, 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Keep him in perfect peace because our minds are stayed upon him because we trust him. I have found out in life some people you can't trust. Some people you don't expect to be on time. Some people you don't expect to pay you back and different things. But can I tell you what I found out in life? God has never been unfaithful. God has always been faithful to me. When I'm off the wrong track, God is faithful to send some hound dog from heaven to come and track me down and bring me back to the path that I need to be in. God has always been faithful in our life. And what I think today is that we need to learn, if we want perfect peace, we have to keep our mind upon Him. Why? Because we trust Him. How many of you have tried to tell God how to get it done? Oh, we do that all the time. God, let me tell you how to get a hold of my family. You know, sometimes we just need to trust God that He'll have a better plan. You know, some of us are like that Sunday afternoon coach in the recliner. We have a better way than what the other coach. and we want to coach God on how to do it. How about just saying, God, you see the need. God, you know what they need. Why don't, would you just do something with it? And He can work in amazing ways. Amen? Amen. You want to know why I said praise God? I wasn't for sure if that was y'all down there. I didn't have my glasses on. And so I said, I knew this much. If I say praise God, if that's Brother James, he's going to turn around and look at me. And sure enough, I knew who he was. And sometimes we just need to understand that with God. Give it to Him and God will take care of it. And that peace comes into our lives and our hearts. The last thing is Paul expressed the importance of peace among the brethren who assemble together. He expressed the importance of peace among the brethren who assemble together. The peace of God, listen, it's not only for us personally. It's not just a blessing individually as a child of God, but it is the heritage of a united life in the church. It's not just about all of Paul's, just about every one of Paul's letters, listen, to the church address some kind of division or problem in the church. Just about every one of his letters was addressing some kind of division or problem that had entered into the church body. Paul wrote this in Galatians. He said in Galatians 3:15, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live," what? "In peace. And always be thankful." Ephesians 4:1-3 says, "If therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit," what? "In the bond of peace." The bond of peace. Can I tell you this morning, I don't think I'm going to reveal, or this isn't the type of revelation that you haven't heard, but where Christians come together, there will be problems. Amen? Where Christians come together, there will be problems. It is proven to be true. Paul wrote way back in AD 60, in that time era, of the problems that were happening in the church of Ephesus and Corinthians. Corinth was one of those really bad churches, had all kinds of things taking place in it. Problems, people were eating and leaving the poor where they didn't get food. There was problems constantly in the church. And it will be that way. It doesn't matter. It still happens. It's proven that way in the early church. And today, the experience is none the less. There's still problems in the church today. Now, y'all are all getting quiet on me right quick. There's still problems that take place in the church this morning. All across America and throughout the world, there's still problems. There's fighting that takes place where? In the church. There's rudeness that takes place in the church. There's disapproval that takes place in the church. There's murmuring that takes place. There's complaining that takes place. And there are what we call church splits. Why? Because people cannot get along. Paul's expression was not just for us individually to let the fruit of the Spirit of peace be produced in us, but it also needs to be produced within God's body, the local church, that peace comes forth. Let peace rule in our hearts is what he spoke of. Peace is important when it comes together. And if we are quite honest, things still happen in the church. People come to the church every now and then and think, "I'm coming to a perfect place." Can I tell you, there's no such thing as a perfect local body. There's no such thing. One day somebody's going to offend you. One day somebody's going to be rude to you. One day somebody's going to talk behind your back. Oh, don't y'all shout me down this morning. But I'm just telling you what church is. It's no different than it was back in Paul's day. It still happens today. Some pastor said, "I'm going to get me another church. Too many problems in this church. Can I tell you, there's just more problems at the next church. Because there's no such things as the problems not happening. That is human nature. And as long as we occupy these bodies, these tents that God has given us, there's going to be problems among us. Amen? That's the truth. And that's what was happening. And Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Among your brethren. He didn't say, hey, let there not be any problems. We'd have to be in heaven. And that'd be all right, right? We'd have to be somewhere besides on this earth because this earth got problems. And the church has problems. Can I tell you though, this is a poor witness to those on the outside and even on the inside, especially new believers when we see seasoned believers acting childish. Yeah, don't shout me down. The peace of God should rule in our hearts. And that's what Paul preached of. Where Christians come together, there should be, listen, not only will there be problems, but there's also should be resolves. There should be resolves. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that when we have a problem, we should make the effort to resolve the problems. There's nothing perfect in nothing perfect here. There's nothing perfect in many other churches. Let me read you a scripture, what the Bible says. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Romans 12:18 says, if it's possible, as much as depends on who? The other person? No. If as much as possible, as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Can I tell you, that's not just the Christian body, but that's all men. See, not only is the peace that we need inside of us, it needs to be produced on the outside and into relations, into churches, in relationships with our family. I'm going to tell you, all of us got a story why we're mad at somebody in the family. Wait for everybody to go. Can I tell you, that's the way it is. Sometimes we're going to treat family worse than we treat anybody else. But the fact is this, that we should be at peace. I can tell you many things that I have the right, I should have the right on being mad, but I'll release those things. The peace that Paul spoke of and the fruit of the peace of the Spirit is not just for me individually, but it's for others around me to be produced toward one another. Scripture says if I got a problem with somebody, I need to go to that person, not to 30 others in the church. Romans tells me I should live the best I can to be peaceable with other people. See, what expected by Christ is that we work things out. Can I tell you this morning, you can sweep so much stuff under a rug that you're going to stumble one day. And there's people that can go around offending and offending and offending and never go and say, I'm sorry to somebody. And we just wait, that's the way they are. Is it difficult? Is it difficult to go to somebody? Yes, it is. There's only a few people like confrontation. But I'm going to tell you, God expects us to work out peace among His people. He expects us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, that's tough preaching, I know. But that is something that should be produced in each one of us. Matthew 5:9 says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Come on, that word blessed means joyful, prosperous. Hey, your spirit feels good. You wake up in the morning, you're one of those people that irritate everybody. Oh, isn't it a great day? Oh, I'm so happy. Robin's telling me, be quiet. It's that you have a joyful spirit about you because you understand that peace is more important than pride. Peace is more important than being right. You understand the big picture. that peace in the midst of God's people will also bring the Holy Ghost down in the midst of us, and we will enjoy the presence of God. Being peace produced among all of us. Remember, I said we'll have problems. I'll guarantee you. I'll probably have one after church. But the thing is, we should have resolve in God's house. Why? Because we know what the Bible says, and we know what Jesus' will is, and we know that He who dwells in us is able to produce it through us. That spirit, that fruit of peace. Can you come to the pianos or the musicians right quick? I think about peace, and peace is something that I'm not sure if mankind wants a whole lot of it. If you only have 800 and something years out of all the years we've been around, or 286, excuse me. But can I tell you something God wants in our lives? He wants you to have peace. I don't know what you're struggling over right now. Maybe it's some emotions toward others, or maybe it's your finances. Whatever you're in, I got news for you. I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you this much. God wants you to have peace. He wants the product, the produce of the Spirit to be part of your life. He wants you not to worry about it. You know, I've had God give me some news, or not God, but the doctor give me some news, and I'm thinking, God, you got this. You got it. And if it's true, if it's confirmed, God's going to be with me in the journey. I'm just saying today that we walk so much through this life that we call life, and we don't have the peace that God wants us to have. And it should be something that's being produced in our life. It's that peace that is beyond all understanding because we've exercised our right to take it to God in prayer and to trust Him. It's that peace that God gives us. It's a peace Jesus said, I give you my peace, not like the world, but my peace. Let me know that peace coming down from heaven up above. There's an old song, it says this, what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. Buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away. While the years of eternity roll. And the chorus goes like this, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Oh, sweep over my spirit. Forever I pray in fathomless bellows of love. Peace, peace, wonderful peace.